just so special what God is doing. And so last week I tried to, I was planning to share this word with you, but in the worship it was just so special that we sort of skipped the word, and which was a first for us. May there be many such services still, where God's presence just overwhelms us, where we can't do our thing and we just do God's thing. Okay, so I want to share with you sort of a journey that the Lord has been busy with me. Beginning of the year in January, we started a series called Visionaries, and I want to pick up there again. So we did three messages on visionaries, and I want to go back to that and follow up on that. But God has been doing amazing things in me, like He's stirring. It's just phenomenal. It's just amazing how God is stirring. He's reminding me of things of the past. He's reminding me of the miracles He has done. He's reminding me, and He's sort of telling me, that was just a glimpse. That was just sort of a, hello, I want to do this the whole time. I want to change lives continuously. I want to do miracles in your midst all the time. And so in this week, I was in Stellenbosch at our head office, and we had a regional directors summit, the pastors over regions. And the Lord is stirring the same thing in all of us, stirring in us the sense of God. We don't want to pray for somebody that's sick and nothing happens. I don't know about you, but, you know, it just feels so unchristian. That when somebody's going to hospital, they're going in for an operation. And so then we pray, Lord, we pray that you'd guide the hands of the surgeon. Which isn't bad. We love doctors. And we pray that God would lead the hands of the surgeon. But Jesus didn't pray that. He healed the sick. He actually healed the sick. He didn't tell the poor people, oh, be at peace, you know, be blessed. No, He healed them. He changed them. He touched them. And there's sort of something that God's stirring in me where we've, in a sense, backed off from the fullness of God. We have stepped back and He said, it's nice to have nice worship and a nice word on the Sunday. And that's not bad, but that's not all that God wants for us. There's so many people in this church battling with different things, and it's not just maybe a spiritual thing. It's maybe an emotional thing in the soul, in their thought life, or physically. And they actually need God to touch them and set them free. And so God has started a journey with us, and that's what we did last week, the Liberty Sunday. We are pursuing God. We're saying, Lord, unite us as a church and lift our faith that truly this place may be the gates of heaven. That people can come here to meet with God and their lives truly be changed. Not just a nice word. They can truly say, I met with Jesus. I met Christ. And that's my heart. And I believe that's God's heart. That's what God wants to do. And let me read the scripture for you. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 2 to 5. This is the Apostle Paul. Very interesting scripture. But he says, therefore, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the Apostle Paul is saying here, I realize I can't just come to you and give you a nice message, because then your faith will be in my words. Your faith will be in my nice message. And so the Apostle Paul said, I've decided I'm not just going to come with a nice message. I will put out my faith. I'm going to trust God that there will be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. A demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That is God's heart. The Apostle Paul knew if there isn't a demonstration of the Spirit and power, people will put their faith in man and not in God. And then we lose. We all lose because we're not going to change the world. We cannot offer a real solution to the people out there. People need real solutions. People in squatter camps who don't have food on the table, can we just tell them, be blessed? No. Obviously, we want to get involved in the community physically, practically, want to be able to provide. But we can't provide for everybody. And so we need to show them the way that there is a supernatural God that can provide for you. Even when nobody else is there for you, look to God. And He can provide for you. And so the Apostle Paul says he wants people to put their trust in the power of God. The power of God. Angus Buchan says, one genuine miracle is more effective or more powerful than 1,000 sermons. And it's true. If I look back at my life, so many sermons, and it's been blessed, and it's been affecting me, it's been changing me, yes. But I tell you, the one time that God did a miracle through me completely changed me when I allow that miracle to speak to me. Suddenly, God is not just a powerful God somewhere out there. Suddenly, God is a powerful God in me and through me. It changes your mindset completely when you realize God can do anything through you. Look at this, Matthew 22:29. Jesus answered and said to them, he's speaking to the Sadducees, I think there. And he says, you are mistaken. The word means deceived. Not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So he's speaking to them and saying, guys, you don't know the scriptures. Okay, so a good idea, get to know the scriptures. Yes. But he's also saying, you don't know the power of God. And because you don't know the power of God, you will reinterpret scripture. Because you will pray for the sick and they might not be healed. And then you'll make an explanation why this is not happening. You will change and explain why healing is it not for today anymore or whatever, because you're not experiencing it. But I tell you, when you experience the power of God, suddenly scripture comes alive. Because you realize this is not just stories 2,000 years old. This is for now. It's for today. God is still today wanting to do this. And I see this with people, theologians, who do not know the power of God. I see that the interpretation of scripture becomes really wacky sometimes. Okay, so that's just to lay a foundation. So from that, we need the power of God in our lives. We need a tangible, real God in our midst. And so I want to share three things with you, what I shared at the beginning of the year, three things. And I want to reinterpret it or adapt it in a fresh way. But three things you need to be a visionary. First thing is you need to see God. Secondly, you need to see what God is doing. And thirdly, you need to have the courage to partner with God in what He is doing. Okay, so I want to reapply this in the context of walking in the power of God. But first off, Psalm 63, verse 1 to 2. It says, O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And so I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. That last bit there, I have looked for You. This is like the cry of David's heart, King David, the cry of his heart. Lord, I'm looking for You. I'm getting up early in the morning. I'm seeking You. You can pick up, there's a hunger and a thirst in David's life. And that's what I'm experiencing in my life at this time, in this past few months. I don't think I've ever been as hungry for God, as thirsty for God. I'm just putting other stuff off, like the TV. I'm still battling with Super Brew, Jimmy. I'm really battling. Super Brew is the Super 15 thing where you sort of say, well, this team is going to beat that team by so many points. And so I'm checking the whole time, seeing in the middle of the game, how far am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? So that's still a bit of a distraction. But this coming weekend is going to be better, I promise. I'm only going to look at the end, how far I've beaten the other guys. Jimmy, ek gaan vir jou bid, hoor. Was 'n swaar naweek vir jou gewees. Was 'n swaar naweek vir jou gewees. Anyway, He will come back. Okay, where was I? So I've looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. And so for me, the key is, it starts off with, God, I'm looking for You. It's about Jesus. It's not just about power. If we get power obsessed, we'll get distracted and we go off track. Okay, so it's not an obsession with power. It's an obsession with Jesus. Jesus, I want to know you. But then it follows up, I want to see you, but I want to see more than just you. I want to see your power and I want to see your glory. I want to see an outflow of who you are. You see, Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a deliverer. So if you see him, there will be an outflow of his glory and of his power. And I truly believe that's where God is leading us. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9. You see, when you and I see God, it changes us. We need revelation knowledge. It's not good enough that the pastor tell you, well, Jesus is a healer. No. You need to get a revelation that he is a healer. And the ultimate revelation is when you actually prayed for somebody and you feel and you see God has now touched somebody, he's changed somebody's life. You're right here. And you get a revelation that Jesus is a healer. But that revelation knowledge, the moment you get a download from heaven where you see God for who he is, despite what you're experiencing with your physical eyes, when you see God for who he truly is, it downloads, it releases faith on the inside of us, and that faith releases the power of God. But you need to see him. You want faith? See God. See him. See who he is. And look at this, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's so been speaking to me. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, you standing here and God in your future, God has prepared glorious things on your path. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, but that which God has prepared for you and me. He's prepared glorious things for us. For those who love him. But how would we know? How would we know what God has prepared for us? Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things. The Holy Spirit searches all things. The Holy Spirit is like Google. It searches all things. We want to know what's happening on the internet zone, we go to Google. If we want to know what's happening in the spirit realm, we go to the Holy Spirit. Our spiritual Google. So we go and we type in, Holy Spirit, show me what God has prepared for us. Open my eyes to see, not my physical eyes, my spiritual eyes. Open my eyes to see that I can know what you have planned, what you have in store for us. And so often, it's like it's a stirring on the inside. It's like, you know God's doing something, but you don't really know what. It's like he's calling, he's drawing us forward. I know as a church, he's drawing us forward. The last 2 months, the worship in this church, I've never experienced worship like this. I've never experienced God's presence in my life as I have. Because, and I believe it's just a drop in the bucket. It's just like, hello. I've awesome things prepared for you. I have awesome things prepared for you. Are you willing to walk this journey? Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to put off the stupid TV and have real visions, not television, real visions? Real visions. One vision from God will transform you forever. A true word of God will transform you forever. How can any movie compare with that? How can anything in this world compare with that? As I said before, the best perfect music cannot compare to not so perfect music, but the presence of God all over it. You just come alive. It's like a source of life. And I believe God is calling us to a place where we don't settle anymore for a form of godliness, for dead religion, for a form of His glory, but for the substance. God, we want You. Amen. We want God. Big deception is when you and I say, and I think most of us would agree, if you believe in God, you would say, God is powerful. Do you agree? We agree. God is powerful. You know what the deception is? God is powerful, but not in my life. God is powerful for other people who write the books and who on television and whom we hear about these awesome stories. Now, God is with them, not with me. That's a lie. That's a deception. Acts chapter 2, it says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and my sons and my daughters shall prophesy, have visions, have dreams, and then it speaks about the signs and the wonders that starts following. All Christians. So it's for you. Can you say that? It's for me. Let's say that again. It's for me. The fullness of God is for me. Let's try that again. The power of God is for me. In Jesus' name. Something needs to shift in our heads. And we will see a manifestation of the glory of God, because faith releases the power of God. God doesn't say, I like that one and I don't like that one. He says, I respond to the man of faith. I respond to the man who hungers for me. I respond to the one who says, God, I'm not willing to settle here in the desert without Your presence, without Your glory, without Your life. I want Your fullness. I am tired of telling people about how awesome our God is, but not being able to show them. Jesus heals, but they're not getting healed. That freaks me out. It should freak all of us out. Because our God is more than that. We have settled for second best. And I am encouraging us, let's go for it. Let's go full on for Jesus. For the fullness of His glory. For the fullness of His presence. I'm trusting that God's going to take this church to a place where people will not come here to get a nice message. They'll come here to meet with Jesus. They've heard. I've heard God is with you. I've heard God is in your midst. I've heard, I'm coming. I want Him. I believe that's what God's going to do. And so it just takes a few people to say yes. Let's go for it. Okay, so first off, see God. See Him. Get a revelation of who He is and what He has given you. What He has put in your hands. And so we need to go to the Holy Spirit Google and say, Lord, show me, open my eyes to see. Secondly, see what God is doing. See what God is doing. So again, it's about our eyes being open to see. You see, God is always speaking. He is always speaking. Can you say always? He's always speaking. But you see, it's like our antennas are not picking it up. You know, DSTV, that thing that I so greatly covet, but I shall stay far away from it. The signal is being rained down on us right now. If we put out our decoder and our thingy, we'll get some signal. Same way, God is always speaking. He's always raining down on us His words. The Word of God says that His thoughts for each and every one of us is more than all the sand on the seashore. Every one of us. So when you and I come to somebody and I pray for somebody and I'm wondering, God, what are You saying about this person? I guarantee you God has something to say. It's called the gift of prophecy or the words of knowledge. That God would reveal His heart to us and through us for somebody and transform them. God is always speaking, but we must just tune in. And so many of us are battling. We don't know what God's will is. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what's going to be. I want to encourage you. God is speaking. just need to position yourself so you can hear the voice of God. God is speaking. And God is always working some way. We just need to become aware of it. I read this, the Bethel School of Ministry. There was a student, one of their students went to New York, sitting in a restaurant. And he was in this zone of God can work anywhere, and God is always speaking. And he's sitting there with somebody else in the restaurant. Waitress comes, and God speaks to him about this waitress. The Lord reveals to him what's happening in this waitress's life. And so he starts to share it with the waitress, and then she starts weeping, and she runs out of the restaurant because she became so emotional. And then he was sitting there, and then he saw a Hindu couple across the restaurant, and he saw the lady's hand being in a fist. She had some form of illness that she couldn't open her hand. Her hand was like in a spasm and a form of a fist. And so he feels God wants to heal her. So he got up, went to them, shared with them, asked, "Can I pray for you?" They said yes. He prayed for her, and she was instantly healed. And she had this for years. He goes back to his table. Waitress comes back, shares more with her. She commits her life to God. And the Hindu couple also starts praising Jesus and giving their lives to Jesus. Just another ordinary day for a Christian. That should not be supernatural. You see, God is always speaking, and He's always working some way. Another guy shares, they went to a coffee shop, and he was just excited about his coffee. But he had a friend also going to the coffee shop, and they were all standing in the queue, and he got his coffee, and then he's wondering, where's Mike? And then he looks and he sees Mike's finishing praying with the lady behind the till. And then he asked, what was that? Now he said, while he was standing there, God showed him that this lady is suicidal and she wants to commit suicide. And so he prayed with her and he took authority over that. And she says, thank you so much, saved her life. Because he was just tuning in. He was just listening. What is God saying? What is God saying? God is always speaking and He's always working. The thing is, unfortunately, most of us, we are so inwardly focused. We are so self-aware that we disconnect from the presence of God and from the anointing of God. We're so self-focused. But if we would just tune outward and listen to the presence of God, listen to the anointing of God, and say, God, what are you doing here? What's your plan today? God, I'm stepping into the shop. Anybody you want to speak to today? Anybody whom you love today? Yes, He loves everybody. And so there's something that God wants to do in us to set us free from our inward focus, which disconnects us from the power of God. You see, your house, I read this, your house, the moment you become filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like your whole house is set out with electrical wiring. Eskom wasn't there before, but now Eskom is there. You have been filled with the Spirit. There are plugs all over your house. Most people, unfortunately, just put on the light. Nice, we have lights in the house. That's wonderful. And so when we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, we receive illumination, more of the Word of God, more of Scripture. We understand more. That's awesome. We have more light. But we should go beyond that. There are some appliances that need to be plugged in. Appliances, things God has given to us called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You need to plug them in, plug in the stove, let's make some food. Plug in the hairdryer, let's do our hair, or whatever. But God wants us to plug in those appliances, and we need to contend for the gifts of the Spirit. Let me read that for you. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. But the manifestation of the Spirit, or the demonstration of the Spirit, is given to each one. Can you say each one? That means that's you. If you're a Christian, you've committed your life to Jesus, then that's you. each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So supernaturally, God reveals things to you about somebody's life so you can, like, she's suicidal. That might be the discernment of spirits. But God wants to show us things. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. It's for each of us to step out of our ordinary, boring life where God does not reveal Himself, where there is no manifestation or demonstration of the Spirit and of power, into a place where there is, where lives get changed. I was so blessed on Friday evening. My brother-in-law, he was working here in the Transkei somewhere. And so he and two of his colleagues came to our house. And so we gave them some food and we were just eating. We were sitting around the dinner table. And I started to ask the other two guys, my brother-in-law is a Christian. And I asked the other two, you know, about their lives. I could realize they are not living holy, godly lives. And so I thought, well, let's talk to them about Jesus. I mean, we've got nothing better to do now. So I started to talk to them about Jesus, and we went through the whole thing. And so Sizwe committed his life to Jesus. He's a very good soccer player. So we committed Sizwe to, he committed his life to the Lord. And Gilbert prayed with Gilbert, and he's a little bit afraid still to go all the way. But he committed that for the next month, he's going to go to church with my brother-in-law. And so at the dinner table, I got up and I put my hands on them and I prayed for them for a touch from God. And you could see that something happened when we prayed for them and gave them some books and a Bible, and we're trusting that they're going to be serving Jesus. But I realized it's one thing to tell them Jesus, Jesus. It's another thing to put your hands on somebody, you pray for them, and you touch that right now God's going to touch them, that they will have a touch from God. That's what changed me. When I was 18 years old, I received a touch from God, and it forever changed me. And we need to trust God for that. So the last one. Firstly, see God. See Him. Love Him. Adore Him. Hunger for Him with everything within you. Allow Him to open your eyes to see what He's already put before you. Then see what God is doing. He's already working and He is speaking. We just need to position ourselves for that. And then thirdly, you need to have courage to partner with God. We need more boldness. What a waste when God speaks to us, reveals things to us, but we don't step out and respond to what God has shown us. It's just a waste. So when God speaks to us, we need to step out and obey Him. And so there needs to be that resolve in our hearts. God, I'm available. Whatever you want to do, I'm going to step out. Whatever you want to do, even I'll make a fool of myself, I am going to step out. I remember 1998, we had a first year's camp. And I was young in the Lord, and it was my first camp that I was leading. And so we had first year students coming to the University of Stellenbosch. And there was about, we had an adventure camp. And so about 45 or so young people came from a diverse background of churches. I mean, you name it, they were there. Diverse church background. Most of them did not have a relationship with God. And so we trusted we're going to spend good time with them. They're going to come to trust us. And we trusted they're going to commit their lives to the Lord. And so it was the whole Friday, we were doing adventure stuff the whole day, from early in the morning till late at night. It was hectic. We were tired. Around 12 o'clock that evening, I finally got into bed. And so, just as I put my head on the cushion, God spoke to me and said, "Now pray." So I woke up all the other leaders. I said, "God has said, we shall now pray." And so we started to pray from 12 until around 3:30, 4 o'clock that night. And we prayed through each person. We brought them before the Lord and we contended for their hearts. and for their souls before God, before the throne room of God. I'm young in the Lord, so I don't know how to preach the gospel. I don't know nothing. But that Saturday evening, we had a testimony from somebody, and then I made an invitation for the young people to commit their lives to the Lord. And I have only a few times experienced the presence of God so powerfully as at that evening. The people were like arrested by the presence of God. The one Roman Catholic guy said he heard angels singing. The presence of God was manifest. These young people came and knelt in front of the auditorium and committed their lives to God. And so many of them are today. Some of them are now pastors. Some of them are still, many of them still serving God. But they met with God there, and so that they had a touch from God as we prayed for them. But what I'm trying to say is, God is always wanting to show us how. What's the key? In my case, was pray. Now pray, and now have the guts to make that invitation. To say, Jesus changed my life now. Come and receive it. And God is so faithful to back up His word. So you need boldness to step out. You need boldness to walk where God calls you to go. And so we need a culture of bold faith amongst us. If you go read the book of Acts, almost finished. The book of Acts, chapter 3. The apostle Peter and John, they were going to the temple. They met a lame man and they healed him. He got up, he was lame, and they healed him. And so the big crowd was running together, and then the leaders of the synagogue and the Jewish leaders found out, and so they brought them before all their leaders, and they rebuked them, and they tell, you shall no longer speak in the name of Jesus, and they intimidated them. And some of them were even, later they were like whipped and stuff, the disciples, and they said they still rejoiced. But then later when they're being threatened and all these things, how would we respond? When people start threatening us, if you do this again, we're going to take you out. If you speak in the name of Jesus again, then it's going to be cheers or whatever. How would we respond? Well, look at how they responded. Acts 4:29. They came together and they prayed. They didn't pray, oh God, vindicate me. Oh God, kill all these people. Take them far, far away. It's amazing what they prayed. They said, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They asked for more boldness. In the light of opposition, in the light of persecution, in the light of people threatening him, they said, God, give us more boldness. Despite that, give us more boldness that we can follow you, we can do what you called us to do. And then they say, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So it's biblical to say, God, stretch out your hand. Signs and wonders, confirm your word. Confirm your word with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that there be no argument about this. So powerful. The one guy shared, they went to a university in America, and at this university, witchcraft was one of the fastest growing religions at that university. This is a year or two ago or so. And so he was invited to come and share about Christianity. And so there was the auditoriums packed with students, most of them antagonistic towards the gospel and towards Jesus. And all that he did was he shared a testimony of what God has done in his life. He shared the testimony, and then he prayed. And then there was a manifestation of the power of God in the place. One of the witches started to manifest a demon in front of all the other people. And so they could say, see, something's happening here. And then he took authority over it, and the demon left. And they could see, there's another authority in this place. And then God started to give him words of knowledge over the people's lives. He started to speak into their lives. And people started to weep. And the presence of God started to touch many, many of the students' lives. No argument. Just the glory of God. I'm tired of arguing with people. I don't want to argue. I just want to show them my God lives. My God is alive. I believe that's God's heart. And so they prayed, God, give us more boldness. Give us more boldness to step out. Are we going to miss it sometimes? Oh, yes. I am living proof of all the mistakes I've made in my life. But the biggest mistake you can make is then to back off and to say, well, maybe it's not for me. You need to step out, and even if you miss it, it's okay. So I'm trusting for us for a culture shift, a culture change, where you might see or feel something that God is revealing to you, and you come to the front, you share it over the microphone, and you completely miss it. And we're going to rejoice because you stepped out, and I've got more respect for somebody that has boldness and somebody that is right, but does nothing. Culture of boldness. It is the key. Confidence. Where you say, this is for me. The power of God is for me. The goodness of God is for me. When I step out, God is truly with me. There's an amazing thing that happens in the spirit. It's like the power of God is just released when you and I are bold. Bold. Who wants to be bold? And I believe that the journey that God's going to take us on, it might get interesting. I don't know. But I want the fullness of Jesus. And I know all of us want the same thing. The fullness of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to pray. Worship team can join us. I want to pray for God that God would start off with putting a hunger on the inside of us. A hunger and a thirst for Jesus. A hunger and a thirst that will manifest in us getting up, seeking God. Even as the psalmist in Psalm 63 says, Lord, I'm looking for you. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. And so I want us to pray this morning just for God to come and do this on the inside of us. A thirst, a resolve, unflinching resolve. It's something God is showing me that when, as it again comes down to boldness, you see, the enemy wants to intimidate you and me. He wants to tell you, whoa, don't be so radical now. Come on, what are the people going to think about you? Fear of man. Or the enemy is going to intimidate you. And that's sort of what I've been experiencing is, you know, when it's somebody that loves you and somebody you trust and somebody, say, in authority over you or next to you, whatever, and they, you know, counsel you something, then that's fine. Listen to that. That's good. That's blessed. But when somebody that's offended and bitter and angry tells you what you can and cannot do, when somebody that is inspired by another spirit tells you what you can and cannot do, for instance, you should not do that. And that's exactly what I'm going to do with all my heart. Because you're trying to intimidate me. You're trying to push me out of the will of God. And so there's continuously this thing, especially for us pastors, you know, to go back to the traditional model. Pastor Judd does the ministry, and we must do and we must run around day and night doing the ministry. That's not a biblical model. And I will not be intimidated by that. We have been called that the saints do the work of the ministry. I'm going to seek Jesus with all my heart. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to be in His Word. I'm going to worship Him. And yes, we'll counsel every now and again. It's good. But not the whole time. Not the whole time. The best thing I can do for this church is to be connected to Jesus. And I so want to encourage you to give me the grace for that. And not fall back to that old lie. The pastor must be doing everything. If all of us do a little bit, then we all can spend time with Jesus and be connected to Jesus. And so I'm choosing in my heart, I will not be intimidated. I will not be afraid of what man says or thinks. I want Jesus. And that's what God wants to do in us. A boldness to follow Jesus even when there are these voices saying stuff. Because when you follow Jesus, you'll get persecuted. And when you pursue the power of God, then all hell breaks loose. But all of heaven will be greater. So in a sense, this morning is an invitation for all of us to set our hearts to Jesus, to pursue Him and His fullness, to pursue His presence. And that's what we've been doing with the worship and focusing on the worship, because we know we need the presence of God in our midst, because out of the presence, the glory comes. Out of the presence, God can reveal Himself. So it's an invitation. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we know You're stirring. We can feel it. And we know You're increasing our boldness. We can see it. And Lord, this morning, we declare our resolve to stay on course and to pursue You with everything within us. God, this morning we declare once again, we're not looking for dead religion. We desire the fullness of God. The fullness of God. I just feel in my heart that the Lord is saying that for many of us, they are like rocks blocking the flow of the Spirit in our lives. It's like distractions keeping the flow of the Spirit, blocking the flow of the Spirit, keeping our minds busy so we can't put our minds on Christ. I feel God is saying, remove the stones. Remove the stones. And I feel God is saying, remove the idols. Things that are more important than Jesus. We all battle with Him. So I just want to give an opportunity for us just to bring that before the Lord. If you feel that there are things in your life that's more important to you than Jesus, it's really occupying your mind and your heart, I just want to encourage you to bring that before God. Would you maybe just stand? I'm not going to call you forward. I just want to, it's just an acknowledgement. Okay, Lord, I acknowledge these things are really, I'm just distracted. It's really a battle. I know I can't give You my whole heart because there's these things holding me back. You see, you need to be excited about Jesus more than anything else. If anything else competes, there will be a rock that blocks the flow. God, we worship You. Father, we thank You for a return, a turning back, a turning to the fullness of God. Lord, even as You have convicted me this past 2 weeks about stuff, and I've laid them down before You. Thank You, God, that You give each of us the resolve, the confidence to lay down distractions and set our hearts wholeheartedly on You. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you come and roll these stones away, God. Give us the strength. Give us the courage. Give us the resolve to say no more to these distractions. No more to these blocks. And to say yes to pursue Jesus. With all that is within us. Thank you, God, for an empowerment of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's all stand with me, please. I just want us to end off with us singing that song, like your face, see your face. It's all I remember, something about seeing your face. Lord Jesus, we adore you, God. And we honor you for what you've been doing in this church the last few months. We honor you for the testimonies upon testimony upon testimony of lives that have been changed. We declare it's the beginning. It is not the end. We declare it's a drop in the bucket of daily signs, daily wonders, daily life change, daily living in the presence of God. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit come upon us. Let your Holy Spirit stir in us a hunger. Let your Holy Spirit stir in us a thirst for the living God. Block the flow of the river.
of the Spirit. Heal our hearts, Lord God. Heal our hearts, Lord God. Every rock be removed. Every fear, every timidity. Oh, we welcome the living God. We welcome the living God. We welcome the risen and resurrected God in our midst. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen, He is alive. He is alive, He is alive, He is alive. Oh, the empty tomb, the tomb is empty. Our God lives, our God lives, our God lives. Boldness, Lord, give us boldness, oh God. Doesn't matter what man says, it doesn't matter what people say, it only matters what God says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, you reign on high.
I know when God wanna use me is when my heart pounds in my throat. I just want to give a testimony this morning. Like Andre said, the power of God is... In 2010, I was at... Mighty Men Conference. Emotions is taking over, yeah? And I was just... We were about over 300,000 people, and a guy came to me and he touched my shoulder and he said... He felt God said... He sees me and He loves me. And at that moment, it changed my whole life. And from 2010 till now, I've got so many testimonies that God has done in my life. And I'm just looking forward to what is in store for me. Amen.
Amen. I just see a picture of heavy cloaks on some of us. I just feel it's like lies and deception that we have embraced, we have agreed with it. And so these heavy things on our shoulders, it's keeping us from stepping into the fullness of God. So if there's anything that you know of, you realize that you've received that lie, whatever it may be, of shame or guilt, condemnation, accusation, just cast it off. Father, right now we cast off every ungodly yoke. We cast off every shame, every guilt, every deception, every lie that we have embraced. Things that says I'm not spiritual enough. God, we cast off that lie in Jesus' name. We can all be spiritual. We all call to be spiritual. I just feel we just need to declare this. Just say, I am chosen by God. He has prepared great things for my life. I choose to agree with the will of God. And I cast off every lie in Jesus' name. Yes, God, now, right now, Father, I just take authority over every ungodly yoke, every cloak of deception, heaviness, burden, and we cast it off in Jesus' name. We silence the voice of the accuser that tells us why this is not for us. We cast it off. And we say it is for us. The glory of God, the presence of God, the fullness of God, it is for us. So, Father, we thank you that you unite us even more as a family, God. You've done such great things already. Unite us even more. Unite us even more. Father, we welcome a culture of celebration into this church. Where we celebrate one another. Where we celebrate one another's destiny and calling. Feel I need to say this to somebody here. You are called of God. You are called of God. Embrace it. I just feel God is going to release the gift of the Spirit in this church. I feel God is going to release us as individuals into our callings, our destinies. See a picture of a flower, but there's no flower, it's just a stem. And I just see this flower coming out of the midst of it, just opening up. Just opening up. I feel that's what God is doing, going to do. I just see like many flowers all over the field, just opening up. I feel God is going to reveal to us how much He loves us. And He's going to reveal to each of us individually what a great calling He has set upon our lives. And when that sinks in, the flowers are going to open up. I feel God is going to release diverse gifts in this church. And so there will be a team ministry. Different gifts together, bringing the whole counsel of God. I feel God is saying, just because you're different, don't hold back. Be bold in whom He has made you to be. Because I just feel God is saying that brings the balance to the team. I feel God is saying, you are not weird. He has made you so for a purpose. feel God is saying that in this place He will unblock the wells. I feel God is saying in this place there will be wells of salvation. Wells of salvation. And people will come here to find salvation, find Jesus. See a picture of a well, and you see the water level just rising and just overflowing. You say yes to that, God. I feel God is awakening something in each of us. Awaken. Awaken, O slumbering one. Awaken. Feel God is saying that key to His presence is just our worship of Him. As we boldly worship Him. Things will just unblock. So I feel God is saying, be more bold in worship. Be more bold in worship. Unblock the wells. Unblock the wells. Unblock the so much more, so much more. Unblock the well. Unblock the well. unblock the wells, unblock the wells, unblock the wells, unblock the wells, have your way. Place of God. Oh, oh, oh. Praise you, O God. Worship you, Jesus. I just feel that right now God's just going to release some words, some gifts in our midst. So I just want you to be bold. If you receive a word from the Lord, just come and share it. The meeting is completed, but we're going on. I just feel God wants to do something here. Thank you, God, for release of your word into our midst, because you're always speaking. You are always speaking. Thank you, God, right now for ears to hear. Ears to hear the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that it can be scripture. Thank you, God, it can be visions. Thank you, Lord, for release of your word in our midst right now. Thank you, God, for the gift of prophecy. Thank you, Lord. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Ears to hear the voice of God, eyes to see Him. Just welcome the Spirit into your heart, into your life. And if the Lord reveals something to you, just come and share it.
Oh, Father, I just want to pray this word over this church, God, that you revealed in worship, just saying that you will equip the saints, God. And we receive it now in Jesus' name, Father. And we speak that every saint in this church will be equipped in the name of Jesus Christ, and they will fulfill their destiny, and they will be equipped by the Spirit and operate in the Spirit, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for the equipping of the saints in Shofar East London, Lord Jesus, and we just come and receive that now in Jesus' name, Father. We pray that you will start to work in this church, Lord Jesus, that you will equip us in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. And we open our hearts to the equipping of the Holy Spirit in this church and in our midst and at home and in our quiet times, Father. We thank you for... Yeah, I had pictures of us going into town and to Hemingway's and to places where we just do the school of the supernatural, and we go and we I just have such a heart for that, Lord Jesus, just to take a team and to go and to be Jesus out there, Lord Jesus, Father, not just in church but out there, God. You equip us here, Father, but there's a purpose, and your purpose is to take the equipping of what we have and take it out to the people who need Jesus. And yes, Father, we pray and we are open for that, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you will equip us, God. And we thank you that we will go out of this place, Lord Jesus. And we will go and transform East London, Lord Jesus. Go and do healings and go and pray for the sick, Lord Jesus. And go and pray for people for emotional healing and for salvation, God. And we thank you that, yes, Lord Jesus, that is your heart, Father. That is what you want in this church and through the bride of Christ, God. We pray that you will come and equip the bride of Christ, Lord Jesus, that, yeah, we will be pure and, yeah, net goed vir u, Father, that you will be glad over us and glad to send out your bride, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
I don't know who was here last week, but I felt I had a word of God and stepped out, and I probably missed it. But I'm just at a place that really rather miss it than disobey disobedience, be disobedient. So I just felt, Lord, the specific word is more than one person. You have a relationship with God. Had it for a while, but you've lost your faith. You've lost your faith in God for some reason. You just don't believe anymore. You just don't believe you can be used, or He can do miracles through you, whatever. So you've got a relationship with God, but you don't have faith anymore. And I just feel like God wants to come and restore that faith. So if there's some of you like that, I know in a sense. That's me also. I want to encourage you to step out. It's not what I can do, but I just want to pray with you.
Let me just add to that. I just felt before you shared, I just felt some people are really terrified by fear, bound by fear. There might be a connection between the two. In the sense you lost your faith, and now I feel in a specific area where this fear manifest so strongly. Okay. Anybody like that? Anybody else? Okay. Can I ask that you guys just come and stand here in the front and we can pray with you?
Just this morning, I felt, well, three of us, we felt that God was actually saying we have to go to church, like, it's, we have to. Because what happened was, we missed the bus, which comes and picks us up in the morning at Sabon. And we missed it, and then we were standing there, and we were, like, deciding, do we go, don't we go, whatever. And we were, like, so afraid. And then, I don't know, something just came over us, and we just made the choice, okay, we have to go. There's, like, there's a purpose for us to go. And then we decided we would walk out, and we walked all the way to here, and then we got here, and it was like it's like at that moment of what Andre was preaching, it was like it just so fitted into what happened this morning to us, like it just like God was saying step out, and like, yeah.
I mean, they walked all the way from Selborne. That's amazing. Hallelujah.
I just want to confirm Stephen's word. I just told my friend also in the back. It was just something that I felt in the week. I felt that the devil was attacking me personally, but I know it applies to the church also, that he was attacking me, telling me that my prayers doesn't work anymore. So I kind of lost faith in my prayers because I just felt that he was attacking us, telling us that, you know, you pray but you don't see results, so now you lose faith in your praying and then you almost don't want to pray anymore. And it's the same that he said, just of that whole thing of you've lost your faith and that and things. So, and I know that there's a few people I've spoke to that also felt the same. So, yeah, I just don't want the devil to... And then I actually got the word this morning in Matthew saying that God... And I actually got the word a couple of times through the week just saying, God saying, whatever you ask in my name, you shall receive. So I really felt that scripture the whole time, just countering this attack and telling you whatever I ask in Jesus' name, doesn't mean whatever I see the results or not, whatever I ask, it will be done in Jesus' name. So,
okay, so anybody else, if you're battling in your faith, come and join us here. If you're battling with fear, just come and stand here. Okay, and can I ask some of our guys just to come and pray with us? We're just going to spend some time praying for them. Facilitators, Sun coaches, district leaders. And I just want us to really speak into their spirit, speak into their hearts. Just be open to the word of the Lord, just to be released in them, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we just take authority over every spirit of unbelief. We take authority over every assignment of unbelief, and we loose faith into this church. We loose faith into the hearts of these your people. Thank you for deliverance from fear and overwhelming faith in who you are. Our God is glorious. Our God is powerful. Our God is awesome in this place, in us. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Have your way, God.